Thank you. Thank you for the time, the opportunity for being here today. Thank you for the life. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for everyone also out there. Thank you for everything that you are continuing doing with our life, with the church, with the scripture that you are putting in our hearts, the building, the edification that you're doing in our life. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything. In this moment, like always, God, we ask you, Lord, to you be speaking to the church, not me. So please remove me out of the picture. Be you speaking to the church. We're going to share your scripture. We're going to share your word. And we ask you, Lord, to continue building and edifying our hearts, our mind, our soul, accordingly to your will, according to your scripture. Be you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue talking about the series of sins and consequences. Sin and consequences. And today is a topic that God put on my heart for this week. Several situations that happened. I don't know how God talked to you, but at least for me, he's always like pointed out different situations, topics, things, and then he's talking about the same topic. I said, okay, so that means he wants me to talk about this. And I want to start with these kind of jokes, and I want to see if you guys can help me over here, because I'm not good in this stuff. You know that. Okay, so let's see. Let's try. Knock, knock. Sodom. Sodom earlier, but didn't talk to him. You see that I'm not good at it? Chris is like, oh my goodness. Okay, I'm going to try another one. Knock, knock. Cain. Cain who? Cain, I come in, it's cold out there. Knock, knock. Luke. Luke through the peephole and find out. Hallelujah, praise God. So I'm going to ask you this, and this one is the last one. Knock, knock. Sin. Ouch. And we're going to talk about that. Because according to Scripture, when we go to Genesis, let's go to Genesis really quick. And we talked about this last weekend, remember? Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to verse 6. The scripture says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door." It's like, knock, knock. It's over there. So today we're going to talk about knock, knock. That's the title of today, knock, knock. The only thing is that we already know who's out there. We know the sin is out there, but we also know that Jesus Christ is there. Because when we go to Revelation, he's saying he's at the door. And he's calling, hey. And if you open, you will get in. So we have these two situations, right? We have the door. We have the sin that is out there, always present, always over there, or present. It's always present over there, waiting for the opportunity for us to open the door, and then it will destroy us. That's why the scripture says, in continuation, it desires to have you. This is talking about the sin. But you must rule over it. God talking to Cain, and God's talking to us today, saying, the sin is crouching at the door. He's there. He's knocking, knocking. Let me in. I'm ready. But the last decision and will, it will be ours. We will make the decision to open the door. Come on, sin, get in. Destroy me. I open the door. Come on, get in. Give me death. That's our decision. We are the one making that decision in our life. So it's always knocking, knocking, but it will be why. Let's continue reading over here. Number 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's get out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He knows. He knows everything, right? What a weird question. Why are you asking that question? It's not because he's showing a little mercy over there. I'm giving you the opportunity to talk to me honestly. Where's your brother? What you did to him? Open your heart and tell me. Because right now his blood is calling to me. It's screaming to me. I know what you did to him, but I'm giving you this opportunity to just be open and honest and tell me what you did to your brother. Where is your brother? But it says, I don't know. He replied, am I my brother's keeper? What type of question is that one, right, to God? The Lord say, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse. We talked about this last weekend. And driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops. For you, you will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Consequences. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Wait a second. What are you doing? And you're even telling now, say, okay, now it's too much. You are the one opening that door. You are the one letting the sin, getting control in your life. The desire of the sin, it was to destroy you, to condemn you, to bring you curse, to destroy all you, to bring death in your life. And now you're receiving these consequences based on the decisions that you are making because it was already there. And the point of all this is when the Lord was telling him, you know what is right. Just do it. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. I'm going to make it more difficult for you. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance 7 times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him will kill him. So you're going to leave the consequences. Don't you think that this is going to be easy? That now you're going to escape from everything. There's some consequences. Knock, knock. Who's there? In this case, the sin, it was there. But at the beginning, God was talking to him and he just said, you know what is right. Don't worry about the offering. My desire, it was to accept more the one from your brother. Thank you for bringing me yours. But you don't have to be mad. You don't have to be disappointed. You know what is right, which is not killing your brother, not letting your anger or hate to control your life and kill your brother. What the scripture says. When we go to James 4:17, the scripture that Rudy shared with us, it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. You and I, we already know what is the right thing. Cain already knew what is the right thing to do, but he decided not to do it. And he opened the door and let the sin come in. So in other words, you and me, we have the will to let things happen in our life. And you and I, we know what is right. Make the right decisions. Let's make the right decisions so that way we can get everything in place for our life. Let's go to Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 is talking about the fear of the Lord. And some of us, we know that the fear of the Lord is not talking just like being fearful of something greater than us. It's just like kind of a respect. I respect you, God, as my Lord and Savior. You are my Creator. You are the greatest thing in my life. But there's some things over here in Proverbs that is teaching us, and thank you, Sue, that God is using you today to confirm this. It's talking about the blessing of receiving the knowledge and beginning of the knowledge that we need to have in our life here on the earth to understand everything that is happening. Again, we are so attached to this world. We are so attached to this earth that sometimes we are trying to correlate the spiritual life, God life, with our mind, and it's incomprehensible. Because God's kingdom and life is totally different from us. And understanding this, I hope this scripture will bring that understanding better. Because Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13, it says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Okay, going back to the beginning of sin and consequences teaching. We're talking about the tree of good and evil. God put the tree over there for some reason. And we know already this. We're going to be redundant here. Okay, let's just go back. You are here. You have a relationship with God. And now God is telling you this is the only thing that you're not going to do. You're not going to eat from this tree. Because why? Because that's going to bring you the knowledge of good and evil. Now you can understand the good and evil. And when we keep reading Genesis, after that, God says, now we become like one of us. What is that? Knowing good and evil. Trinity. One of us. So now they know good and evil. Now they understand the good and evil. When you are not understanding the good and evil, you are just living in relationship with Him. That's it. In a good relationship with Him. But then, now that we're living in this world, in this earth, in this body, with the flesh, with the sin that we have, is bringing that knowledge of good and evil. And now God says, let me remove this tree, because if they eat from this one, now they're going to live forever knowing good and evil. And that's going to be too painful. Let me remove it out of here. Because the original plan, it was to live it in eternal life with Him, not knowing good and evil, just loving Him, worshiping Him, praising Him, living for Him and with Him forever and ever. But we decide to eat from that tree, and now we know the good and evil. Now, we have two things over here. When you go to the Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says, to fear the Lord is hating the evil. We need to hate the evil. And you say, like, hate? Yeah. That's what the Bible says, right? We have to hate the evil. You know now good and evil, but now we have to hate the evil. Remove it out of our life. So that way we can have the goodness in our life. What it says, the continuation of 8:13, I hate pride and arrogance. This is God. Evil behavior and perverse speech. This is God talking, saying through Solomon, talking over here and explaining, you need to hate this stuff. So that way you can have the fear of the Lord in your life. And when you hate those things, that means you don't want it in your life. That means you're not going to do that in your life. That means you're not going to apply that in your life. You're going to just remove it. So that way when you do that, the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, it will be manifested in your life. Let's continue reading Proverbs 6:16. The God that you and I love, the God that it says that He's love, it's also saying over here, there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to Him. I don't know for you, but for me, it kind of like a strong words. Right? Detestable. Hate. This is God, the God that we love and the God that is love. But in order to love, you need to hate. We talked about this stuff before. Because when I love my brother, I hate the dysfunction between brothers and sisters. When I say this before, when I love my wife, I hate then adultery. Because I'm loving my wife. Because when I love my brother and sister, I hate murders or assassination or anything related to that. Anything that is going against that, you hate it so that way you can love. Imagine that there's no hate or there's no evil. How you can differentiate that? You cannot say nothing against the other thing. You cannot say, oh, this is good. Because there's nothing to say that is against the goodness. So the same thing of the love of God. He say, I'm love because I hate haughty eyes, a lying tongue, a hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises weakness schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. I hate those stuff. That's why I'm love. Because if those stuff are out of there, the love of God can manifest. Now, this is an example for us to apply in our life. He's telling us, let's look inside of us and see what's going on. What we are doing to be more in relationship with God and be back to that relationship that He wants with us. So that way we can remove anything that is not from Him and live and walk with Him and by Him all the time. Let's go to Revelations 3:14. We talk about the knock-knock of the scene. Now we're going to talk about knock-knock. Jesus Christ is at the door. Revelations chapter 3, we're going to start in 14. And we're going to learn here that there's seven churches that that they receive a revelation from God. And there's different things, different points from these letters. And I want to share really quick. The first one, Ephesus. Praise. It was a hard work and patience. Scolding. Left the first love. Or leave. Action. Remember and repent. The second church, Smyrna. The praise, it was the tribulation and poverty. The scolding, it was none. But then the action, it was do not be afraid, be faithful. Pergamos, faithful to the faith, it was the praise. Scolding, permissive. Action, repent. Thyatira, the fourth church. The praise, it was that it was love, faith, service. The scolding, it was immorality. Action, repent. Sardis, it was effective church. That was the praise. The scolding, it was superficial. The action that they need to make, it was be vigilant and repent. Philadelphia, faithful. Scolding, none. Action, hold on to what you have. The last one, and this is the one that I want to share with you guys today. Laodicea, thank you. The praise, it was none. Nothing. scolding, lukewarm. Action, be zealous and repent. 14, it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and self to put on your eyes so you can see. So there's a things that we need to learn from this story or this book. Historically, these people or this town, we talk about this, the water is coming from a hot environment, from a hot water source. But when it was getting to the point of this town, it was getting lukewarm. It was not hot, it was not cold, which it was a problem because then it was not providing the right minerals and the right things that it's supposed to provide. So that's why Jesus Christ used that reference when they were writing these letters to them. And it says, you're not hot, you're not cold. I prefer you be one of them, but because you're not, then I'm feeling that I want to spit you. There's a good point over here. That means it's inside of Jesus Christ. That means he's still inside. That means he's talking to the church. It's talking that it's still with Jesus Christ, but you're not doing the right thing right now because you feel so rich, egocentric, and now you feel like you have the control of everything, that you don't need anything. Now, I can do this thing by myself. Don't worry. Don't bother, God. Just watch me. But no, Jesus Christ was telling them, that's totally wrong. We need to continue building that relationship with God, that relationship with the Lord, and continue getting stronger because the sin is knocking every single day, every single second. This is every moment. This is not just this specific bad day that I have. No. Every moment that we are seeing things, every moment that we are listening things, every moment that you are experiencing different situations, the sin is just over there. It's just waiting to you to make the right or the wrong decisions, to open the door and let the sin get in. And now what happened with this church? This church, it was so wealthy, this location, because they will have a bank of infrastructure over there by then that they were really wealthy. They have a manufacturing of wool, the clothing. They were having a lot of good things over there about wealth in that moment. So they become so egocentric and they believe that I got everything. Nobody can help me right now. I can do this thing by myself. And that's the part that we need to be careful. When God bless us, bless our life, we just need to continue to have a humble heart, knowing that he's always the king, that he's always our God and creator, knowing that he's always having the control of our life, that whatever we have is because of him. No one and nobody else. Not because of me making my own strength to do things. It's because he's blessing me. He's the one doing everything in my life. So I want to share with you guys three things over here. Let's pay attention all the things that he's mentioning in the letter about them. Number one, they say here, you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That's the wrong things that it was happening in that church. But God is so good that he's providing a counsel here. And he provided three things over here that I want to share with you guys today. So number one, he say, buy from me gold refined in the fire. Historically, people that I'm not a refiner of gold, but what I'm reading and learning, it says that there's some purity over there when you are passing the gold through the fire. It's removing all the impurities, removing everything, and purifying the gold. According to them, the people the information that I was reading, there's like two methods. One of them, which is kind of like, man, that's a really high percentage. One of them, it was 99.95% of purity. And the other one, which is this one, the one from fire, is 99.99%. Come on. Is that a big difference? 0.04? But anyway, that's fine. It's more pure, is the point. So the fire, it will purify that specific heart, mind, soul, spirit in your life. It will clean up all your heart and your mind, removing all the impurities. Now, what is a fire? The part that you and I, we don't like. Circumstances, problems, situations, things that it doesn't make us comfortable. That's a fire. And I don't know you guys, but sometimes when I'm listening to songs, then I say like, put me on the fire, and all that stuff, like throw me in the fire and purify me and everything. Okay, that's fine. I agree, because that's real, that's true, it's Bible. But it's painful. It's painful. Let's be honest and realistic. It's painful. God knows that. Jesus Christ knows that. But it will purify us, because we're supposed to see the finish, the end of what is going to happen in our life. If we change our mindset during that process of the fire, which is going to be purifying you, then it's going to make it more smoother in our life. Refine fire. So when you and I were going through the fire, let's just dance. Let's just enjoy it, because it's creating a better person. It's creating the person that God wants in you and in me, so that way we can have a better relationship with him. Which is talking also about spiritual treasures. That's why when he finished saying, gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. Let's go to the scripture. What it says about that. When it says, become to the rich, let's go to Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So, also, hallelujah. Refine fire. That's the goal. If we are getting purifying, removing all the impurities, that is to become rich in what is really our treasures. Not like this church in that moment, when they were just relying in the treasures on the earth, on the wealth that they were having on the earth. You and I know already that this stuff on earth, we're not going to take it. Right? Why are you going to take? From earth, nothing. Relationship with Jesus Christ? Eternal. That's why you're going to take. If we are building that over here on earth, we're going with him with that relationship. Let's continue building that. Let's continue refining that. That will continue blessing us immensely. The second point that I want to share with you guys today, in according to this scripture, it says, and white cloth to wear. It's talking about righteousness. When we go and learn more about that, it says in Isaiah 61:10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. He's talking about righteousness, the white cloth. So he's telling the church, just put the cloth of righteousness. Be righteousness. With you, with the people, with the world, with everyone. Be righteousness. Jesus Christ was righteous, and he showed us that example. So he's asking us, live the way that I was living when I was on the earth, showing you that me, God, on the flesh, I was being righteous with the world. So us, we should be the same thing. Be righteous with everyone, and that will be clothing yourself. And what is going to be the benefits on that? What it says? So you can cover your shameful nakedness. I received something beautiful over here. Let me show you. Because when I keep reading and learning more about looking some explanations and theologians and also definitions, the word naked, it means undisguised in this terminology. It means having changed one's appearance in order to conceal one's identity. So pay attention. When we go back again to Genesis, when God go over there and say, where are you at? And they were hiding, right? We're talking about Adam. And if they were hiding, and they say, oh, we hide because we're naked. Who told you that you're naked? Who say that? Because they lose their identity with God. In our mind, earth, here, we say, but naked is not clothed, it's just naked, it's showing our shame. But in this terminology or explanation, he say that I'm covering my original identity, which is being a creation from God, to another creation that you and I were not. A shameful one with sin. That's not you, that's not me. In God's eye, that's not you. I didn't create you that way. That's not John. That's not Chris. That's not Rudy. That's not Becca. That's not anyone else. That's not you guys. Because I created you so beautiful, so good. But because we decide to grab from the tree that he said, do not take it. Now we know the good and evil. Now sin is in our life. Now sin is our flesh. Now we are naked because we are hiding our original identity. Yes, in our mind, it doesn't make sense. Because again, our understanding, it is the naked is without clothes. I don't have anything. But the real definition, it means I'm just covering my real identity, my relationship with God, with another person that he has not been created by God. It's a person that I decide to be because I opened the door for sin. And that's why he say, in order to fix that, clothe yourself with righteousness. If you clothe yourself with righteousness, there's no nakedness in your life. Hallelujah. The last one and third one. And salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Three things. Number one, refine in the fire if we buy that gold from him. Number two, white cloth to wear. And number three, salve in our eyes. When I was reading this, also this one, it brings me a good understanding. It's an ointment used to promote healing of the skin or as protection. Now, we cannot see because the sin is in our life. And we're seeing other things that God wants us, that God wants not us to see. We're just seeing whatever we want to see. So what the scripture says about that? John 9:39, Jesus says, "For judgment, I have come into this world so that you, the blind, will see. And those who see will become blind." Jesus' words. He say that. "For judgment, I have come." Whoa. Again, God is love. Jesus is love. We love. But he came also for judgment, to remove the sin out of our life so we can restore everything to the original state. And that's the ointment that he's bringing to our eyes so we can see what is the real purpose and life that he has for us. Now, more explanation of this, it means the ointment, because these people in this town, they were also so rich and wealth that they have a medical school for that specific illness in their eyes, which is interesting. I didn't know that. I learned that. But what he's talking about is also about a topical product of self-consistency applied of various medicinal effects, and more particularly that which is soothing or emollient, which it means removing hardness from the eyes, because the hardness, it will not allow you to see. Now let's just look that into our hearts, because our hearts are sometimes hard, like stone, like we learn in the scripture. We can't see. We're blind. And you know that we're talking about spiritually. Yes, you can see physically. But we're talking about spiritually. We're talking about internally, each of us. What are you and I see? If it's really according to God's will, what we're seeing. Or you are seeing whatever you want to see. Because Jesus Christ wants to put that ointment in your eyes and in my eyes. Do you remember the story? From Jesus Christ? Right? Yes. So that way we can see. Some things we cannot understand because, again, the earthly mind. But that's the way that God works in our life. Revelations 3:19, continuation. After I share with you guys the 3 points that is revealing here for us, Jesus Christ says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." Come on. Earth, mind. I don't want that. If you love me, don't rebuke me, don't discipline me. Right? We don't want that. But that will give you the refined through the fire that you need, so that way you can be gold and build that treasure in heaven. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. Who's there? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. The Bible is so specific for me that I like to break it down like in pieces because it's so special for me. So when we go back and see, I stand at the door. So I'm here and I knock. Gentleman. He didn't just get in like the thief. He's knocking. Respectful. Fear of the Lord. If anyone hears my voice. So he's there. Hello? If anyone hears my voice. And opens the door. There's different things. I'm here. If you are hearing me and open the door, because in other words, you can hear in him, but you're not opening the door. We're coming here every Sunday. We are sharing the scriptures. Maybe Mondays, maybe Thursdays, maybe also Wednesday in the prayer meeting. He's at the door. He's knocking. But if we are hearing and not open the door, he's not getting in. Now, if you're here and say, oh, let me open the door. Now, when you do those things, according to Scripture, it says, I will come in because you opened the door for me. You allow me to get in, into your heart, into your mind, into your soul, into your life. And it says, and eat with that person. And not just that, because someone can eat with you on the table, but you might be not eating with that person on the table. It says also, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, hallelujah, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Praise God. You want to be victorious? There you go. It's there. Let's just apply it. Let's just leave it. Open the door. Again, church, it's simple, common sense. The sin is there. We're not going to hide it. We're not going to just say everything is beautiful. With God, everything is beautiful. It's always if we change our mindset. So the sin is over there, crouching at the door. But Jesus Christ also over there, knocking at the door. And you and I will know what is right. And because you and I will know what is right, and we're not doing it, then it's counted as a sin. You open the door to the sin. There you go. Now I want to open to Jesus Christ. Let me open it to him. Get in. Let's have a dinner. Let's talk about life and everything. Let's enjoy this. This upcoming week, it will be amazing. It's Thanksgiving, guys. Enjoy it. Have fun with the family. Any way you maybe are going through some different situations, I'm going through mine, I know, everyone. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Live the life. Have fun. Enjoy it with your family. Live the fullest that you can. And then just praise God. Praise the Lord. and continue living in relationship with Him. Open the door to Jesus Christ, not to the sin. You know what is good, you know what is right. I'm going to leave you with this one. Knock, knock. Jesus Christ, I am come here to save you. Save me from what? From whatever I'm going to do you if you don't let me in. Because there's nothing else. if you look everything in your life and you see Jesus Christ and everything, Jesus Christ is everything. Holy Spirit, God, everything. He's everything. The other things, come on. Enjoy it. Have fun. God is good. We love you, God. We praise you. We love you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your love. Thank you for teaching us that you are always over there for us. God, we learn that the sin is crouching at our door over there, always is there. But we're not going to let it get it in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to continue blessing our life, our church, our needs. You know our prayers. So please, in the name of Jesus Christ, continue blessing us. Everything according to your will. And whatever we're going through, give us the strength to continue holding and believing and persevere with you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you, we worship you. And we allow Jesus Christ to get in our life and control our life and be our Lord, our Savior, our friend, our brother, our everything in our life. Thank you. Because we understand that we do not deserve this, but by your grace, we are here. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us right now? Thank you.